Brewocracy Now, the show for people that really care about what's going on in your local community, where I join Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow every week. This week, Mr. Morrow has some special guests, and I will let him announce them, but just a few little notes. You can join this conversation by following the link on the kptz.org website to join the Zoom meeting, or you can drop me a line at dj@kptz.org if you have any questions that you would like me to pass on. Concise questions are always best given the time that we have, and I would like to welcome John Morrow, and I'll let you introduce the guests that we have today.
Hi, Tim. Always great to see you. And I'd like to believe we've become quite a good tag team, kind of a two-for-one. We've got a four-for-one now, and I know we've got a limited time. It's nice to hear the National Native News for the first time before we get to go on. But I'm joined here with my counterparts at the county and the port of Port Townsend. So Philip Morley with Jefferson County is the county administrator. Aaron Berg is the executive director of the Port of Port Townsend. And we're here unified to have a conversation, a brief conversation about resilience and recovery and some of the work that we're doing both as organizations, but also as a wider community to forge ahead to recover from COVID and to build greater resilience. So it's a real honor to be joined by these gentlemen that I spent a lot of time with and really respect deeply. And we've done some fun work together in the limited time we've been teamed up. So welcome, Philip and Aaron.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here and to join you all.
Philip, you're a little bit low. Maybe if you could get closer to whatever mic you have on that, might be better.
Okay. I will try just getting on to my
Meanwhile, Aaron.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here. Are you able to hear me all right or not? Yep. Great. Well, looking sound forward great. To the conversation.
You all sound good. And this is something I've been looking forward to, having you three gentlemen in the same room. Lots of questions, very little time. So I'll let John start it off. John, what can we learn from having you three here together on one day?
Yeah, well, hopefully this won't be the last time, and I would be remiss if I don't mention that the general manager of the PUD, Kevin Street, is often part of our gang of administrators as we try to work together on a number of things. But maybe I'll just play co-host a little bit here and maybe ask Aaron and Philip just to briefly describe some of the work that we're doing, including a meeting that's happening tonight as agencies and with the community. To make sure that listeners understand kind of the big picture, then we can maybe go into some questions.
Sure. Thanks, John. This is Philip. So I don't know how much you and Tim have talked before about the work of the Intergovernmental Collaborative Group and the Intergovernmental Coordination Committee. So towards the beginning of this COVID pandemic, recognizing what an impact it was having on individuals, on businesses, on community organizations, and just us as a society. The four governments really came together, the legislative bodies, the city council, the county commissioners, the port commissioners, and the PUD commissioners, all came together and said, we want to join together and see what we can do collaboratively, not just between the four governments and recognizing that this is a unique time in history that calls on us to respond, but also importantly to really partner with the community and harness the energy of the citizens and the organizations in this community to really try to respond to the COVID pandemic and the profound impacts it's having on our community. And really pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps of what can we do together to respond, to keep ourselves healthy, to mitigate the impacts on economy and on individuals that are hard hit by this, and really come out and try to recover from the pandemic. And in the process, recognize that we have a history of some intractable problems like housing, like broadband, like childcare, that this are further challenged during the pandemic, but by coming together and responding to recover from the pandemic, perhaps we can build resiliency and capacity to address these broader questions, even without the pandemic. Aaron?
Well, you know, as the newest person at the table, I think I would point out a couple of things. One is, you know, John, Philip, Kevin, and I meet on a weekly basis to talk about issues of importance to the community, to our constituents, to our organizations in general. And this seems to be something that people have really wanted. And, you know, the pandemic has offered an avenue to explore one particular facet of collaborating, but really the collaboration goes much deeper. And there's so many projects that we're working on of mutual importance and interest. And I think that's the part I want to share, is that these four entities that represent together so many of the same people in different governmental levels are absolutely committed to working together on these shared objectives, those that we know about and those that are yet to come.
I think that's well stated, Aaron. I mean, I think, you know, what's been fascinating for me is to watch the 16 elected officials that represent the four agencies with that same spirit of, you know, real compelling leadership and stepping up in a time of crisis. And, you know, we also disagree on stuff, you know, as individuals, as organizations, and to see us really put those really aside and not to forget them because we need to negotiate some things and navigate differences of opinion, but to really come together in the spirit of, we've got to move things forward and the community's depending on us. And I've been inspired to see our elected leaders really taking that role seriously and delivering.
So John, have you and Tim talked about the on the pandemic response here? Have you talked about the six community groups previously?
You know, it's come up in conversation, but maybe you can just give us a quick overview of what's happening, realizing we've got maybe 10, 15 minutes total. So, yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks for the reminder.
Sure.
So, yeah. So what the electeds wanted to do is really harness different interests out in the community. And a group dealing with human services, a community group of human service providers, just members of the public, another group on children and families, a third group on economy and jobs, so hit by the pandemic. Another area that has really been profoundly impacted by the pandemic is our culture and events organizations. So that was another group. Food resiliency, recognizing that as people were economically challenged and some initially in the pandemic, distribution systems were also challenged, looking at making sure that there's food security and resiliency there. And then finally, harnessing one of the areas that touches on so many places to as a fundamental tool to function and address these issues is broadband, and really working with the broadband action team that the PUD already was working with, but expanding that to address. So those are the six groups, and each of them have been asked to really make some recommendations of what are some discrete and accomplishable things we can do to help recover from the pandemic and build greater resiliency. And so that work is just, we've gotten reports from the six groups, and we are in the process now of pulling that information together. And you mentioned the evening meeting tonight at 5 o'clock of the representatives of the four governing bodies to really start to talk about how to pull that information together into a consolidated report that ultimately would be adopted by the four governments. You want to add to that, John and Aaron?
Aaron, go ahead. You've got something.
I was just thinking that an area of interest in that report will be, and one that we've certainly heard from the elected officials, is are those points that really intersect among the groups. And there are some consistent themes that have come out, the intractable issues such as housing, but also some, I think, pretty interesting themes on economic development and opportunities, for example, to enhance the artists and creative entrepreneurs in our community's quality of life, and really shift that area from just passion to passion plus economic vitality. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the report ultimately comes together, and then how the four governments, all the community groups, the community working together can work to implement those pieces of that report that each of us can work on.
I think it's also worth saying, I think building on what Aaron's saying, I mean, you know, one of the things that we found as I've been taking our 10 Engage PT topics and bringing them to KPTZ every week, we did include this one because we play a collaborative role with other agencies in the community on this topic. But a lot of times folks have said early on, especially when we launched Engage PT, well, why are these the 10? And aren't there things more important like climate change or housing or, you know, inequity that we should be focusing on? And I think it's an and, because how we envision at least Engage PT was, what are the 10 decisions, the top decisions that city council is teed up to deal with in the next year? And a lot of these have a long runway, so that it's around now that we have to wrestle with them and make decisions, just like the decision that was made on the golf course this week. But I think the same thing with this this four agency group in recovery and resilience. This is the focus is really about COVID recovery. But what I think we're doing is we're proving a proof of concept, both between the agencies, but also with the community, that, wow, there's a lot more issues to sink our teeth into. And if we can get this right and prioritize, work together, have a clear idea of if we receive, you know, additional stimulus funding from, you know, federal agency at some point, we know exactly where to start. This is our blueprint. And what gets me excited is, boy, there's so many great opportunities beyond this now that the agencies are up and running, working together. Philip and Aaron and Kevin Street and I are talking almost every day. We're actually building capacity as a community. I see a question from...
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Hi, hello, everybody. Thanks for doing this today. But one thing about housing, I guess the golf course, I haven't heard what's happening with the golf course, one. Two, I read about they're building these tiny homes over by this church off of San Juan to be placed somewhere. No one knows where yet. Arrow Lumber's donated material. Carl's Lumber, Henry's have all donated, and volunteers are building these modest homes. And it's getting a little bit of talk on Nextdoor and all that. And we're just trying to see, is there any plan for any place to put anything like that at all? That's one. And then the fairgrounds, I went out to the fairgrounds Sunday. It's busy, but it was pretty clean. It really wasn't, what I saw, wasn't too bad. There's campers. Some homeless people are living there without paying. Some campers that are paying. And I know with winter coming on and there's people are using electricity and power, is the city or county absorbing that to pay for the people that are out there that aren't paying charge? And two, the homes that they're building out there off of San Juan, is there any plan? Are these going to go anywhere in town, or is that somebody's just, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out
what's good. Yeah, no, I could probably address those at some level, but I think this also, demonstrates that Aaron and Philip and I, while it's not the focus of this recovery and resilience conversation explicitly, we're also dealing with these issues together and working through them. So about the, I'd call them emergency shelters being built on San Juan, you know, I think there's a difference between that and tiny homes. And not to be too pointy about this, but yeah, tiny homes ideally would be constructed to code. And, you know, there'd be a plan for placing them in perhaps tiny home communities. Our planning commission's taking that up, and we've been talking about that for a little while now. The proposition to take emergency shelters and place them somewhere poses a challenge. And I'll be honest, building them isn't the hardest thing. It's the location that's a little more challenging, and far more challenging than that, it's the wraparound support services that make something like that actually possible. So I can say with some ambiguity that those are conversations being had right now. There seems to be some some movement forward, but I don't think any definitive answers on that right now.
And I'm glad you stressed that they're shelters, they're not tiny homes. I should have used that.
Oh, it's okay. I think it's helpful to make sure that we're talking about the same thing because, and I know I've done the same thing. I've said tiny homes before too. And I think, you know, there are different purposes for different people who require a different set of services, you know, and I think let's just be clear about that. On the other issue of the fairgrounds, I don't know if one of my colleagues would be more apt to pick that up, but I know it's a conversation we've been having between agencies for a while now.
So at one point during the pandemic, there was financial support and OLECAP had a number of folks that were there with agreement with the Fair Board. When the county entered phase two and opened up camping, then campers were moved off at the request of the Fair Board, and then a small group ultimately returned to the fairgrounds and have stayed there, and their numbers have grown under the eviction moratorium issued by the governor. So it sort of was a impromptu gathering that wasn't managed or regulated or really supported with services, and frankly became problematic because of folks with mental health issues, drug issues, and just behavioral and criminal activity as well. So lots of police calls out there starting to really, they weren't being good neighbors to the neighbors. Really sort of starting to be fundamental land use conflicts there because of the activities going on. So what's happening now is four community organizations, OLECAP, Dove House, Bayside Housing Services, and St. Vincent de Paul, are stepping forward in collaboration with the Fair Board to bring services to those individuals that are there. There are about 36 people, last count, that are out there. Warm meals will be starting up within this coming week. Case management to get services. Some evening proctors to sort of make sure that things are staying calm and that folks' needs are being met. So that's all just now coming into place with money supplied by the county that was funded through the CARES Act, Coronavirus Relief Fund. So really to provide some services, humanitarian services to the people who are there, but it doesn't solve the longer range problem of eventually, where do these people go? What's their future? That's still, frankly, a community problem that we don't have answers for yet.
That's a good start. I mean, you just a lot of information you just gave, I think that's good for all of our listeners because you're doing something and I commend all of you for doing it.
It's
good, really good.
Yeah, I do want to make sure we pop in because it looks like Tim is always battling fires at the station. I want to remind listeners, you're listening to KPTV Bureaucracy Now with Tim Quackenbush and me, City Manager John Morrow. Tim, it looks like you're racing around the station getting a few things done on the side.
That is absolutely true, John. I'm used to being on the radio and not on television, but as you can see, I'm dealing with a few technical issues, so thank you for picking up the ball.
No problem. So far, so good. So, hey, I want to recognize other folks who have joined this conversation, but also maybe pivot back to the point of this call. And I think Philip very aptly links this issue of housing and emergency housing, per your question, Sonny, into a larger play on resilience and recovery. And precisely what I was saying before this was, you know, right now, what's the immediate? But actually, there's some really big existential problems that have predated COVID that are now actually made a lot worse. And as organizations, our elected leaders, as a community, and to channel something Michelle Sandoval, Mayor Sandoval, said the other night, it's time for us to come together and really share, to create it together, because that's how we're going to move ourselves forward.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got.
Hey, so, John, should I be giving a plug for this evening's meeting?
I was just going to ask one of you to do that. That's a brilliant idea. Yes.
Okay. So again, this is a meeting of the Intergovernmental Coordinating Committee. And what we'll be talking about tonight with electeds from the four governments and the four administrators is some of the how we are high grading the recommendations from the six community groups into a combined report. And so that's what we'll be discussing tonight. To view it, go to the county website, www.co.jefferson.wa.us. Follow the links under quick links on the left-hand side of the screen and videos of meetings streaming live. And click on the icon for the meeting for tonight at five. It starts at 5 o'clock this evening, and you can watch the discussion.
Thanks, Philip. And I'll just give kind of a, or Aaron, maybe you want to just, this is how things are going to roll from here, just to kind of give people a bit of a runway and a timeline for how we want to get this finished off. I do want to applaud, because undoubtedly there are many listening, the community groups that have put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this, you know, and individuals in our community have stepped up and really met together and, you know, came up with some fantastic ideas. So, you know, maybe Aaron, you can just give us a sense of what's next and how we're going to get to the next phase.
Yeah, sure. There are just a few meetings left in the planned meeting schedule to get to the finish line. Tonight's meeting is the ICC, as Philip indicated. That's the group of eight really doing some drafting. The group of 16 elected officials, the ICG, next meets on November 18th at 5 p.m. They'll be taking a first look at the draft plan that will be developed further after tonight's meeting. And then again, the ICC, the group of eight, will meet on December 3rd to kind of put any last changes that come out of the November 18th meeting, with a final meeting scheduled at this point on December 16th for the group of 16. That's a joint meeting of all the elected officials for all four of the governing bodies of the county, city, port, and PUD. So, you know, actually a fairly unprecedented model of getting all those meetings together, running them simultaneously for the purpose of adopting the plan. And then I think really exciting from my perspective is imagining what's next. What will these groups do next in keeping this collaborative spirit alive and working on whatever those issues are of the day? Kind of what's the next one to pop up as the most important issue for the four entities to join hands and work on?
And I will note there's some continuity in the programming here at KPTZ, you know, with the community resilience conversation with Garth Mall on Monday at 6:30 after Climate One, I heard in the community calendar. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that we can set our sights on as a community of how we use this set of governing bodies and sort of a superstructure that it provides to really tackle with unity some of our biggest issues in the region. Tim, I'm just going to check in with you because I just miss hearing your voice.
Well, yes, I, you know, and unfortunate that I've had problems right now during the time when we have these particular guests. There are so many questions that could be asked, so I'm hoping that we can do this again. I think it's I keep going back to the Michael Schumann broadcast that we did here on KPTZ, and I believe everybody was there, and that brought up a lot of questions about how we, our local government, can collaborate also. So there are so many things that I would like to ask. I'm hoping we can do this all again when I'm not so taken with my issues here on this side of the microphone.
Sounds smooth on the broadcast, though, Tim. I know that from the Zoom call you're running around and out of your chair and waving your arms, but all smooth on the audio side. Yeah, undoubtedly, I could probably speak for Aaron and Philip to say that, you know, the three of us and also Kevin Street from the PUD, you know, we spent a lot of time together, and we're really eager to present a united front here and have another conversation with you.
Well, yeah, and with you three in the room, I mean, we have issues here that go all the way from COVID to streets to utilities to kennel cough. And yeah. You folks are involved with all of that. Also, the Public Records Act, how that affects you, the PDA, what's going on out there. The questions are there, and so I'm hoping we can revisit this conversation.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
I do feel like, Tim, you're kind of exploring all the different angles that makes my job both very challenging but also very exciting, and I think that's the same for Aaron and Philip. We get to juggle a multitude of intersecting, complicated issues, and we got to steer together. I'd also be remiss not to tell people, because they usually ask, because I know we're at the end of this show, that they ask what's next, and next week we're talking about the Port Townsend Paper Company and Mill and City Water Agreement with Steve King. And I'd also be remiss not to note that today we received an award from the Department of Ecology as I was out at our wastewater treatment plant to receive our 22nd consecutive annual award for the water coming out of that treatment plant. So good job.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And maybe next week, I think, I glanced at a headline recently that said that there was some movement on the golf course, and to delve into that subject again. So, unfortunately, I'll put this all off to next week because we are out of time, but I would like to thank all of our guests and you, especially John Morrow, for Brewocracy Now and for coming together and enlightening us a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes that we may not necessarily see every day.
Always a pleasure, Tim. Thanks, Aaron and Philip.
And thank you.
It's fun to be here.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, Brewocracy Now! Is something that we air here on KPTZ every Thursday. We have a half hour, and just to put this out there, we at one time explored taking phone calls, but it's become just way too challenging to do unless we're live here in the studio, if I were here with John, which is impossible at this time right now. So I won't be taking calls, but you can always join in Zoom or send an email if you have questions to be answered. So thank you until next week. And I will be back hopefully